Welcome to Contagious Podcast, Contagious Conversations for Automotive Innovation. Super excited to bring you the conversation that I got to have with my man, Andy Evinger. Andy is here with us at Nelson Auto Group and Nelson Mazda. He is our digital marketing specialist and is all things social media, video, photo, content creation, getting the word out there. And I really love Andy because he actually came to us from outside of the automotive industry. So it brings a unique perspective to the conversation every time that I get to have it with him. He's doing some really cool things outside of automotive still. He's got his side hustle. You're going to get to hear about that. And then we'll even dive into some of the practicality of what it takes to execute creative on a local level, day to day, week to week, what the practical tools that we utilize in our unique scenario. And then even what it looks like to draw more people in that are high level creatives, people that maybe have not thought of the automotive industry before, but might be interested based on the reality that there's a place and a purpose for them within our industry. So it's a packed episode of some fun laughs, some practicality, some encouragements for dealers and dealer groups to get in the game of marketing yourself by yourself. And hope you enjoy it, and hope you join the conversation as well. So without further ado, here is Andy Evinger, digital marketing specialist at Nelson Automotive Group. All right, Andy. So tell me, we're talking about marketing and doing it internally. And you are obviously, we're sitting like literally, I could yell too loud and people could hear me through your headphones. But we're doing this video thing because we're doing it on YouTube, throwing it out there. And if you're listening, then sorry, you're not going to get to see Andy's beautiful face. Andy is our digital marketing specialist and does all things video and photo and social and helps with paid media and all that. So Andy, when we're talking about that, just launch us off. Like, what is your desire for content creation? How did you get into this? I want to create content. I want to be doing content for a living. However many years ago that was.
Yeah, well, taking it back way back when, I, like so many people, originally moved to Nashville because I was in the music game. And so I am a recovering musician, as I like to say at this point. And throughout the course of that time in Nashville, I'd always been creating content in my own way, whether it'd been for the band, whether it'd been for whatever, but it was usually just kind of like a hobby at that point. So that was kind of like in the early 2000s, like 2001 kind of thing like that. And music, the kind of shift started to happen in like 2006, 2007, 2008, where I became more into being behind a lens as opposed to in front of it kind of thing like that. So when the music thing kind of shifted in about 2009, I got the opportunity to start making photos, doing photos for a magazine in town at the time. And my friend happened to be an editor. So I was able to kind of shoot a lot of the bands, like national rock bands and bands in general that would come through to play in the Nashville area. So that's kind of how I originally got my content capture start, was 2009, 2010. I was a concert photographer in town. And that just kind of escalated into meeting more people in the business. I started working with a lot of the folks in the local news channels around here. And that's what kind of put me into more of the video game. So I started doing a lot of like kind of newsy entertainment package kind of stuff like that. And that kind of got my feet wet with just like picking out sound bites, trying to figure out what the best content to use once you interview somebody to tell a good story and how to do it quickly and efficiently. That led me to working in a studio in town as kind of like their studio manager kind of thing. And so I started working with a lot of artists at that time. It was a pretty decent sized publicist. So we worked with a lot of the big acts at that time. So I actually got a cut and get my feet wet with working with a lot of like really high end artists, which was a really great experience for me because they were very fluid on camera already. So like, I really was like, easy for me to figure out like, all right, here's what I need to use. Here's the good stuff. Here's the bad stuff. And it really set me up to understand like just how to kind of work with content in general. From there, I worked there for several years. Then I kind of just like was in the freelance game. I just kind of back and forth with doing my own thing, working with other publications here and there that I get jobs with based out of Nashville or New York or wherever it was, and just kind of continue to move and perfect my craft at that point. What led me up to where I am now was about 2015-16. I got an opportunity to be a producer on a project that was sponsored by Walmart, and that allowed me to kind of start working with a lot bigger corporate brands and kind of doing brand marketing in the sense of taking corporate brands and bringing them over to entertainment. And how did those two kind of intersect and merge with each other? So through that, I started creating a lot of content with Walmart, Uber, Coke, Kingsford Charcoal, and a bunch of record labels in town kind of thing. We just worked with artists and kind of just kind of built little sponsored content and stuff like that for several years. I was doing that. That led me to kind of continue on that vein and with my own business for a little while. And then I kind of just kept delving into that kind of side of creating the content, bringing brands into Nashville and pairing them up with record labels and pairing them up with artists. And as 2019 and 20 started to roll around, we are obviously in the midst of a pandemic. I was getting married at the time. I kind of was looking for something a little more secure, trying to get out of music, to be honest with you. I kind of played that game for the last 15, 16 years of my life at this point. And it's fun. But at one point or another, I was just kind of getting burnt out with the same thing over and over again. I was wanting to challenge myself a little bit more and go hop into a different kind of side of content creation. And that's when I came across Nelson Mazda. And that was been about a year and 5 months now. And so starting from 2001 till now, that's kind of where I am.
So if you're not tracking, we don't deserve him, but we have him kind of thing. we're super lucky to have Andy here. And since that, what, year and 5 months, man, the volume of creative and content that we've been able to push out from an organic and paid perspective has been really life-giving to our group, to our brand. And even just the things that he challenges me, he challenges our team with. And so you can't have him. That's my first thing. Second thing is, you know, when we started this journey of, you know, probably a year and 7 or 8 months ago, talking as an executive team in our store, hey, we think this video thing, this photo thing, this organic content thing's really important. What are we looking for? We were really looking for this person like an Andy that comes from, not from automotive, but can bring all of this from another sector of business in. And Andy was that person. And we're going to talk here through this episode about like how that's ebbed and flowed over the last couple of years and how we've gotten to where we are today and just what we're able to execute on. And execute super quickly. And what we're really encouraging a lot of other dealers and groups to execute in the same way so that more OEM and franchise stores can get to the point of telling their brand story. So Andy, tell them, so I guess you had been here about 9 or 10 months and I fired you off an email, or maybe it was a G chat. And I was like, hey, man, what do you think about not doing a single content piece from anything OEM ever again? And I, at first I was worried. I was like, oh boy, he's going to be mad at me. You know, he peppers these things in so he can focus on the big creative. And he was like, no, that sounds awesome. So when you got that email, like, what did that inspire in you to do for our group and for the stores?
Yeah, for sure. So, like you're saying, it's tempting because I've never worked in an environment like this before. So it's tempting when there is the big corporation that's out there that supplies you with, like, here's all this content that we're going to just give to you. So if you're like a franchise dealer and you don't really have a digital team or someone in place, we're going to just spoon feed you this so you can put this on Instagram or Facebook or wherever, and you can have your little presence and you can be a digital marketing too. And like, so honestly, I've always thought that stuff was, it was kind of well done, but was always, we've had these conversations before, and not to knock their content teams or anything, but it's just very evergreen. Like it just has nothing to do with telling a story of who Nelson Mazda is or the auto group. It has nothing to tell the story of Nashville. Like, and there's just, you can't really do anything outside of just post it and say, here's a CX-9. Look how pretty it is. Like, go check it out. Like, that stuff just gets so generic after a while. And if you don't have someone like myself on staff, like, I can see how that can be something that you want. But over the years, I've just really honed in on social media, and for businesses particularly, is not something that, like, for a car dealership, you know, for example, when you hit up Instagram, and I've said this before, when you hit up Instagram or Facebook or something like that, the first thing you're not going to scroll for on your newsfeed is to say, man, I wonder what Nelson Mazda.
Give me that dealership content, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, man, where is that? Because I want to check it out today because it's going to be so entertaining. And like, the reality is, like, if you go and scroll like dealership after dealership, you're going to see that kind of same tier one kind of stuff. And it doesn't do yourself any favors because it's just, you're just going to scroll right through it. Like, it's the most bland magazine you ever see in your life. You're just not going to look at it. So, you know, we did mess around with that a little bit. And I think partially why that was in there when I first started here was because I was just getting to know people here, getting to know what our story is, having a better grasp on what's going to perform well, what's not going to perform well. It would seem like sometimes you have this beautiful image of a car and you would get, you know, X number of likes on it because, you know, sometimes you have people that are just here because they want to see beautiful images of cars or things of that nature, or they just want to see what the Mazda Tier 1 brand could be. And so it was easy to kind of just pepper that in, mixed in with some, you know, custom content that we were doing. But when I was challenged with that, yes, it was something that I was really excited to do because it really put a little more of a pressure on me to kind of get in there and really start to figure out who the people are here, what is a story we can tell. And then as a content creator myself, it kind of just pushed me to say, all right, you don't have anything you can fall back on. So if you're supposed to post X, X, and X, or have this, this, and this to say, like, you can't just, you got to have the content, you know, you got to go create it. And so to me, that's something that I'm into doing anyway. I'm here for that reason to create content. So if I'm not doing it, I'm not really doing my job if I don't do it. So yeah, I was happy when we went that route. And I think the return has been pretty evident as we've really honed in on focusing on people and story that's going on here. We're seeing engagement and reach go a lot further than ever did when we were just doing tier one stuff. And I feel that as we've kind of progressed in that nature more and more and more, like I said, the return on the engagement is just getting better and better and better. And
yeah. And I think, and I, in a second, I want you to tell them about what your side hustle is. Cause I think it's important to this conversation. One of the interesting things that I've seen over the past year, and don't get us wrong, we're not like the ultimate end all be all. There's some incredible marketers and automotive doing similar stuff that I've gotten to meet even in the last few weeks because of this podcast and because of, you know, LinkedIn and all that. But even though we're not going off and getting, you know, 100 comments on Instagram and double taps all over the place, we've seen impressions drive up. So where we've seen engagement go up, we've gotten, you know, more comments, more likes, more shares than ever because we're interacting with people, real stories in the store, real video in the store, things like that. I think especially on those finger scroll platforms like Facebook, Instagram, we're getting more impressions. And I was in the store on Saturday and talking with a customer that said, oh, wow, all the stuff that you guys put on social media, you actually mean. And I was like, holy cow. And this, I'm telling you, this person has never actually liked or commented on a single thing on social media, but obviously went there to see what our story was before coming into the showroom. So that was a pretty cool, you know, realization for me that this content that we're putting out is driving up impressions, and it's able to tell the story, even if we're not getting that, like, you know, visual engagement. So what have you seen from impression? Because you're looking at the data, especially from an organic perspective, a lot, seeing that engagement go up.
Yeah, well, that's a good story because I think that's interesting because something I see on social media all the time is people will be like, oh, they may not be engaging, but they're watching, like, you know, and so, like, that's something that I think we've always you're right. I mean, like, we may not have the hugest amount of numbers and stuff like that as far as like followers and things of that nature, but we are definitely seeing quite an increase in, like you said, the impression data, which I think is great, because when I first came here and was looking at this, you know, taking over our handles and creating the content, we were not getting more than like 50 to 100 impressions a post or something like that. Right. And now, like, on average, we're getting, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 to plus, you know, and then if there's a little bit of paid behind it, then obviously it's going exponentially out there too, which is phenomenal for us. I mean, I think we average per month, you know, in the hundreds of thousands of impressions each month, which is great for us. Now, you know, the goal with that for me is hopefully that's going to do exactly what you just said, is have a story like that where people are actually going to come in and start responding to seeing the content and coming in to check it out. But furthermore, the goal is obviously we want people to purchase because of what they see that we're doing online, and they want to, you know, be involved in the experience that we're creating with that too. So, you know, I think that's great to see.
Well, and it's not just that, but so not just organic, but on that paid, like you said, you know, the difference in impressions, the difference in, you know, even click-throughs on those, especially video. We'll run creative. We'll run like an OEM style creative with an offer right next to, in our creative set, a super local branded. And every single time, like view through rates, click through rates, even impressions, because it's getting served up more often by the providers, are always higher on that organic content. So I think there's a place for the OEM content and the offer style content, but we're seeing a lot more interaction from the branded content. So I don't want to go too far down that, but tell them, one of the things that I really love about Andy is he gets to play in kind of two places right now from a social media and a branding and video perspective. So he plays in our space, but then he has this other brand, Pup and Roo, with his wife. That's super fun. And I love following it on social media because they're hilarious, and he's got cows and stuff. So tell him a little bit about that, and like, how you are, you know, exchanging ideas between those two platforms to be able to increase engagement in both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have two platforms we work with. One is just our Pup and Roo handle, which is just, I don't know how those nicknames really came to be. My wife, my full name is Andrew. She just calls me Roo. And then she is really obsessed with animals, so Pup became her little nickname when we created this brand kind of thing. So Pup and Roo it originally started when we first started dating. We're married now, so this was probably 4 years ago that we created this handle. Was solely off our love and passion for traveling. So like we've traveled quite a bit over the last 5-6 years together, and being a photographer and liking beautiful things and story and memory and stuff like that, that's kind of just where that happened. And so, you know, once we started creating that, we started getting a lot of traction. I don't know particularly when we kind of launched, but we were happy at first when we got 1,000 followers, and then it just kind of went to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 10 to 11 to 13 at the highest kind of thing, 13,000 followers. And now we're just hovering, you know, it ebbs and flows. There's a lot of unfollow kind of stuff that happens on some of these platforms. But, you know, it was just kind of an interesting phenomenon how that kind of build with what we were doing there. And then we, like I said, my wife has a love for animals. So we started Pup and Roo Animal Rescue. I guess it was last year we kind of officially kind of started it. And yeah, we have a ton of animals out of the house. And so it's kind of interesting. We have 22 different animals, I think, from little bottle calves, donkeys, horses, sheep, cows, goats, pigs, all kind of stuff. And we take in things when we can, and we just kind of try to save animals when we can kind of thing. And pertaining to that, to how we see, you know, some of these platforms work, it's really interesting because there are subsets on social media of people that just follow certain things and like certain things. For example, on our traveling kind of page, if we posted a piece of animal content on there, it wouldn't get near as much traction, obviously, unless we post like a travel kind of picture, vice versa. You know, if you post travel on the animal site, you're going to get animal people that don't really care about that kind of stuff. And so, you know, correlating that kind of what we do here at Nelson, it's kind of like this mix of how we can, you know, you want to post people content because you want to tell a story. And we find that engages a lot of people here, because I think at the end of the day, people just want to see and feel a part of something, you know, whether that be a larger travel community or that's some kind of animal rights or animal kind of love community or something like that, or, you know, coming down to more of a specific branding thing for a business. I think some of the best businesses that are out there are the ones that make people feel like they're a part of it and they have a share in it and they have some kind of, and because that's what social media kind of all is about, right? It's like you'll see on Instagram all the time, they'll talk about community guidelines and things of that nature. So it's like, I feel like that word is very strategically used because that's, they understand that that's what these little things are. They're communities, you know? And so that's kind of a philosophy that I take into what I do here with us. It's like, how are we building our community? Like, and how are we building this brand as like an inclusive community brand where people are going to want to come here and see what we're doing. People are going to want to check out our feeds. People are going to see what our marketing techniques are, because like I said before, hopefully that's going to translate into somebody coming into the store, meeting somebody, wanting to have the experience that we provide here and taking that and walking away like that it was positive and giving us positive reviews or whatever, you know, like, so that's kind of how that's all been working together for seeing how these other platforms work to kind of bring together what I do here.
Yeah. I think that point about people when they're consuming content, especially online, they want to not just like see the content from a distance, but they want to feel like they can be a part of that content. So we, you know, in our content, we do a lot of like, come experience, come be a part of, you know, it's a very, the call to action is not come buy from us or come service from us. It's come be a part of something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people start to latch on to. You know, the people that have the most loyalty to our company that do business with us over and over and over are people that feel like when they walk in the doors, when they come for service or come to buy that next car, that they're like, hey, how you doing? Everybody's, you know, everybody knows who I am. I know everybody. And there's this experiential piece of that. We have to transfer that to how we're, you know, positioning and portraying that in the market. I see a lot of companies, you know, even doing like community style events in automotive where they're saying, hey, you don't just have to come be a part of us, but we're going to and being a part of what you're doing. So
I think that's why I love what our little tagline always is there, is discover the Nelson, you know, difference, experience the Nelson difference, you know, kind of thing, because I think that's exactly the point of what I think we try to do there. Like you just said, when we are out there marketing this company, is it, we want to be set apart in that regard, you know, whether it be community outreach stuff that we do with some of the people we sponsor and stuff like that, to the employees here. I mean, I can't tell you enough since I've been here, like how much that is like our philosophy and our core belief is to really do that, you know? So.
Yeah. And luckily, I mean, I would say also, if you're a marketer in automotive and your brand doesn't have a good story to tell, then you probably need to get with the team that can create that and help you create that so that you have the story to tell online. Like Andy and I fell into a really great story when we came on board with the Nelson Group, because we do have, you know, a value proposition and a community engagement and a way about going to market that makes a whole lot of sense. So let's move to, like, if someone wants to do this, if someone wants to get into this and they're saying, okay, I hear you, I want to do this content thing, but I don't really know how, or it doesn't feel like I have the resources. You know, talk about the resources that, I mean, what, it's you and I, and then we've got Jermaine is writing a lot of copy for us. And then even just the equipment and the cost of like you actually doing the job. What kind of the uptick cost to do some of the stuff that we're doing right now?
I think the good news is for people is that everybody has one of these now, which I'm holding up a cell phone, which is the quality on these cameras and things like that have changed so much from 2004 to 10 to 12 to 15 to 2021, which we're in right now, where some of these cameras, you know, you can't even tell, you know, there's no difference between having an iPhone photo and then having just a $5,000 camera. And I mean, obviously there can be difference in that, but the reality is if you want to get started doing this, like you can pull out your phone and start documenting video and shooting it, you know, and putting together some kind of content package to tell your story with. I think one of the first things you got to do from a very basic perspective, from a digital marketing social kind of standpoint, is understand every platform that you want to be on, and understand that you don't have to be on every platform either. Like just pick the ones that you think are going to be able to, that you're going to be able to work with on a regular basis, and pick the ones where you think you're going to have the best voice in, you know? So find out what Instagram is saying and what those communities are saying and what you think you can say on it. Find out, you know, your Facebook community, and it's the same thing. What do you want to say there and how do you want to do it? Twitter is more of like a stream of consciousness, quick thought. Facebook can be more informational and just kind of more in depth, and Instagram's more beauty and just here's photo, video, and kind of more just straight, here's the message kind of stuff. YouTube can be more long form, more longer in-depth content, interviews, kind of things of that nature. And they all kind of work together very similarly, but you know, you gotta basically understand what each of those platforms are first. I think after that, one of the things that I said when I first came here right out the bat, just come from my background, is that I wanted to focus always more on the personal side of stuff than the mechanical. And like the mechanical will eventually start to tell its story based off the knowledge of your employees and your staff and stuff like that. I mean, if you go out and sit with them or do something in the car with them or talk about it, I mean, you're eventually going to get what the product is that we're talking about. But I feel like how I always wanted to attack it was get to know who we are as people first, because you're going to see that we have these certain kind of standards and goals and things like that that we want to achieve with our customers. And then, you know, you'll want to purchase, you know, you want to purchase a product with us after that. So go ahead and just start telling your story with like the most basic things, like who are you? Like, what are you doing here? And why are you here? And who are your people that you have employed with? And I think that's kind of what we focused on for the first almost 6 to 8 months, in my opinion, was me really just getting here and getting to know like who we are. We have multiple stores. So just going to both locations, getting to know our client advisors, our service people, our techs, all that kind of stuff. And who some people want to be on camera, some people don't. Some people, you know, want to talk, some people don't. You just got to sift through that and find it and really hone in on who your winners are, as far as like the guys that want to really be on camera. And then like you just give people some space too. Some people just don't want to have a camera in their face, you know. It's like we kind of navigated those waters over the last couple months here, and like you really can start to hone in and start to really dial in your story and tell it well. I think once you kind of figure that out, you can start to piece together what you want to say, and these will guide you. Your team will help guide you through that kind of situation as well. And from an equipment kind of standard, we've really kind of upped our game a little bit over the last, you know, 3 or 4 months again too. We bought some new camera equipment, we bought some new lenses, we bought drones, we bought stabilization. I think when you really start to hone in on what you want to say and you want to really start putting out spots and telling your story like internally, like then you can step up your game to more, you know, simple technical things. Like we just purchased, you know, like I said, a drone and stabilization for your camera, so you can really go to broadcast with those, and you can kind of set yourself apart even more with the quality of the content you're putting out. Anybody, like I said, can go shoot something pretty quality with a phone, but I mean, there's a cinematic kind of flair. There's that kind of tier one kind of feel that you can get when you do some tricks with some of the stuff that you get out there. And that's kind of where we've really, really honed in, I think, on our story a little bit more now, being able to kind of just, at first it was kind of like, let's just get it out there, let's kind of tell the story. Now we're really honing in because we know the story. Now it's like up it to even another level. And I think there's something to be said too, that when you have somebody in-house doing this, like you can tell an even better story than if you're hiring a third party to come in and just kind
absolutely
of create,
agree.
Yeah, create like some kind of one-off piece of content for you where you pay them their day rate, their X, and they come out and they shoot something for you, and they don't, and, you know, you can go off kind of a script, or you can kind of go off like whatever your idea is. But there's something to be said when there's somebody here on a regular basis where you can go get so much more for bang for your buck. You can also come in and just, you know the feeling of the store that day. You know, if like there's something in your head, like, or something on somebody's mind, you can just go shoot it, you know, and get it done and put it out there. And sometimes those have been the best pieces of content we've done. I honestly, where it's just been something where you've come in or I came in that day and it's like, hey, let's do this today. And like, we put it out there. And sometimes that stuff is the stuff that just gets thousands of impressions.
Well, and I love, like, because you're around the story, because you're around the stores, you know, the people, you know, the way that we are interacting. And so you grab those, you know, those quick photos or those quick videos in a way that it would take a long time for someone coming in to kind of understand and get that. You know, so I think that the moral of the story is, you know, grab your phone. If you want to go get a $60, $70 gimbal off Amazon, we started there, you know, and started shooting a little bit more smooth video in the showrooms. But really, I mean, we've spent what, $6,000-$7,000? I mean, if that, on tools and then Adobe Suite, you know, what is that, 10, 20 bucks a month or something like that. And been able to produce some really cool content.
Investment is going to get you unlimited amount of content that you can create, as opposed to paying $5,000-$6,000 for an outside company to come and get 1 30-second spot for you. Yes. You know, bingo. Like, so that's, it may seem a little pricey up front, or it may seem like, oh, I don't know, but like in the long-term return for your company and your business by investing in yourself for that is going to save you $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 for a year's worth of constant content that you can put out, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about, if anyone's, you know, been on LinkedIn or been on our socials, or maybe you're watching this episode going, what did they really do? And you saw the most recent 30-second spot that we've done. We did in response to the Vroom commercial that's going to land at the Super Bowl, that's already on YouTube and kind of made the airwaves a little bit. But I've actually had a few questions like, hey, who did you have shoot that? I said, we did it in-house. Mind blown, right? And so it's blown up a little bit on LinkedIn. But that was one of those where Andy and I were both, we came in on a Monday after, you know, thinking about it all weekend, and Andy walks in my office and like, we have to do something. We're going to do something this week. We're going to make a response. And I was like, all right, let's go. You know, I got all excited. And so we just popped up and, you know, just started working on it. It took us an hour, maybe an hour and a half to kind of like really get it in our minds and then shoot the shots and, you know, figure out that we had to go back a couple of times and say, okay, we've got to move a little bit different. But we were able to execute on this brand story super efficiently and tell that story quickly without having to have months and months of like design process. Not saying that's wrong. I think that, you know, we're working on a couple campaigns right now where we've been working on for a month or so that are much wider, and we're going to go to market with some stronger, like wide gamut campaigns. But we were able to turn and execute on something that had Andy not been in house, like I would have never been able to, you know, hold an iPhone up in front of me and execute what he was able to do and then us be able to get that to market. I think it's an advertisement for other people in Andy's space where he came from prior to maybe even move to automotive, because there is such an opportunity for content creation. What would you, maybe someone caught it, is catching it from that, or, you know, is in the dealership world, but they're on the sales side or the service side going, this is really what I want to do. How do I move over to that? You know, from your perspective, what does that look like?
I think as a creative, like for me personally, it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't matter, you know, in the sense, like, I always want to create something. And I think if you really are that type of person who's like got that production kind of desire and that, and the technical skill, like of how to shoot or create something, I think, you know, you got to find the challenges in no matter what you're doing. Like, we could be a popsicle company, quite honestly, and I would still be like, all right, like I would go do the research. I would see who our competitors are. I would see what's going on. And I would be like, how do we tell a better popsicle story? You know, like, I think, you know, so for people that are out, I mean, for me, honestly, I was a little concerned too. Like, it was something different. I came from completely the entertainment industry and before this. And so I didn't really know 100% what I was getting into. I just knew that it was going to be a product and there's people, and like there's got to be a way like that I can tell a better story. Like even before I took the gig, I was, you know, looking around after I got the first call back. I was looking around at other car dealerships and just kind of doing my research before I came in for the interview. Like just like, what am I gonna, you know, like what can I say, or how can I, you know, how can I do something different, you know, in here, and will I even have a place in here based off all my experiences in the past, like to do it. And like I said, it goes back to kind of the main point of what I just said, like focus on the personal, just focus on the personal and not the mechanical kind of thing like that. And there will be a story to tell. I mean, if you're dealing with humans, you're dealing with a product, like you can figure out what that story is going to be and how can you effectively bring that to market in a way that's something that's unique, you know? So I've actually really grown to enjoy what we're doing here. And I really am thankful for the company that we work with, because I feel like you, Kyle, is like push the creative boundaries of something that I didn't know necessarily would have been a good fit for me right off the bat, you know? And like, it really has, like this year and plus has really just flown by, as I feel like I'm challenging myself to continue to find new stories to tell, whether they be from the employee, our perspective, a service perspective, or the client's perspective, all that. There's just a ton of different things we can do, you know, as we've continued to grow and go down this road. And yeah, I just think it's been something that I've pushed myself, you know, there are some lows, you know, but I think that's creativity. You can't put creativity in a 9-to-5 box. You can't put it in like inspiration just doesn't come like every waking minute kind of thing like that. You know, like you have to find and you have to look for it. And sometimes you have to work for it. And I think at the end of the day, like if you are a creative type person, like you will continue to strive to find something more to tell. And that's what we've done here.
That's good. So encouragement, find the creative person, go after it. Just start putting out something, tell your story, put out something to the world. And I think if you're telling an honest story and not trying to overcreate it and overproduce it, people are going to be attracted to that. And we've in automotive, we've got a really cool story to tell. We've got incredible people on our showroom floors and our service drives that have families, that have lives, that have histories that you can just tell. If you don't have a brand story, tell their story. You know, we did a lot of that with test drives, with client advisors. And so there's so many things you can do. You just have to start. You have to put something, you know, you said, use your phone, go do something. And get into this, you know, social media, video, creative space, challenge yourself. And I think it's going to have a bunch of reward in automotive. So Andy, thanks for joining me on the podcast from a room over. Do me a favor, tell them where they can kind of find you, whether it be with us or outside of here, your handles, all that type of stuff again, in case they want to.
Yeah, you can definitely go to any of the Nelson Mazda handles. We have a Cool Spring and a Murfreesboro Facebook, Instagram page. We have YouTube. You can find all that stuff there. If you want to see some of my personal work, you can just go to @PupAndRoo. You can go to @PupAndRoo Animal Rescue. We're on Instagram and Facebook as well. That's kind of where I do most of my stuff right now. But yeah, mainly if you want to see the story we're telling right now with Nelson, just go hit us up on one of our pages and you will see all the glory that we are creating right now.
Sometimes glory, sometimes crazy, but it's always good. So Andy, man, thanks for joining us, and follow Andy, follow what we're doing, and go do it yourself. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed that. Hope your brain got working on how can we do this as a dealership, or even if you're a vendor, encouraging your dealership to support you as a vendor in getting their creative out there and thinking of new ways and ideas to incorporate creatives that aren't currently in our industry that we need in our industry to tell a brand story, to get story out there, and to tell our brands on a local level, not just let the OEMs and the manufacturers do it, but get really local, get really focused, get organic content out there that people are wanting and willing to interact with and engage with and hear from. So I hope that spurs on the conversation. The best way to join the conversation is 1, like, comment, share, follow this podcast, because we're going to talk about this more often, how it relates to company culture, how it relates to our go-to-market strategy. And then on Thursdays at 3 p.m. Central, we get on Clubhouse and we invite more people to the conversation. So this week, we're going to have the likes of Scott Risley from Mohawk. We're going to have Lindsay Boom Shaker on the line. We're going to have Andy Evinger on the line, who you just heard from. And then we're going to have opportunity for questions or comments and bringing more people in. We at Contagious Podcast, myself, I want more people talking and not less, more people driving toward automotive innovation. So join the conversation, like, follow, comment, share, and get the word out that automotive is the place to be. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on Contagious Podcasts, Contagious Conversations for Automotive Innovation.